Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. We hope everybody out there is having a terrific, terrific Thursday. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row for the very first time Joe Simpson, who's been doing a great job for the Atlanta Braves television and radio network for more than a quarter century. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great, fellas. Beautiful day again here in Atlanta, so a good night for baseball.
Outstanding. And you, when you think about last night being a great night, you've been doing this for so many years. How much fun is it when you have the opportunity to call a Soroka performance like that, where he lowers his ERA under one, and then a magical moment like you got to call with Austin Riley homering in his second at bat?
It's still a big thrill to me. I started thinking last night about seeing Chipper's first at bat, seeing Chipper's first homer, Jason Hayward's home run, his first at bat. Things like that you'd never get tired of seeing from a young player, and how exciting it is to see them, A, just get to the big leagues, to have such a great debut such as Austin Riley had last night, it's wonderful.
Joe, it's been an interesting start to the season. I mean, after 43 games, the Braves 22-21, so more than a fourth of the way in. If I had to ask, what has surprised you the most about this start?
Well, I would have to say the inconsistency of some of the young pitchers. You know, we started off with Wilson and Wright in the rotation the beginning of the season in Philadelphia, and they had a hard time kind of holding together what they had done to get there. And Wright's been back, Wilson's been back, but they're both now back at AAA. So I would have to say that it's probably the inconsistency of some of the young guys. On the good side, I think the lineup has been outstanding. Yeah, we've had a few games where we didn't maybe got shut out or had a hard time scoring runs, but I give a little credit to the opposing pitching too. But I'm really pleased with what our lineup's doing, and I think they'll be able to keep that going all year long.
Joe, we've had this debate up here in Chattanooga, and I'm certainly curious to what you have to think. When you talk about, if I had to ask you your biggest concern from a pitching standpoint, because I know the relievers have kind of got roughed up that very first night, and it seems like that's where the fans' angst is against. But when you look at the starters, and you've got Soroka and Fried that are doing well, and then you kind of hold your breath when it's somebody else. I know Folty having an ERA above 8 is not what anybody wanted. So if you had to say, are you more concerned about the relievers right now or the starters right now?
I'd have to say that I would probably prefer that the staff had an ace at the top, and that's not to take anything away from Soroka and what he's doing or Fried and what he's done. I just think there might be that need for that veteran ace. You know, there's been a lot of talk about some guys that might be available out there and whether or not the Braves would go after them. But I'd like to see that guy who's had some success, who can kind of show the way for some of these young guys when they do run into some rough times. And, make sure that it's short-lived so that it doesn't last too long. Now, does that mean I don't have concerns about the bullpen? No, there are. And again, I think that good night Luke Jackson came in and put out the fire. He did a great job. Dan Winkler did not have a good night last night, but he had been outstanding. So you never know night to night which guy you're going to get. You just hope that they're on their game, and hopefully they'll settle in. And We added Tuki Toussaint last night to the bullpen. That will probably help. He's been outstanding out of the bullpen. We'll have to wait and see.
You're listening to Joe Simpson, who's been with the Atlanta Braves television and radio network for more than a quarter century. You're listening to Joe here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Joe, you're going to have to bear with me because I got a whole bunch of things to ask, because I grew up in Smyrna, and I've listened to you for a long, 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 long time. My first question
Fire away.
My first question for you is, your last year in the big leagues was 1983, and you played in 89 games but only had 119 at-bats. That gives you a unique perspective for how amazing the accomplishments Charlie Culberson is doing right now. Can you put into a layman's terms how amazingly hard what he's doing amazingly well?
It's ridiculously good, guys. That was my worst year in the big leagues, and it was primarily, at least my excuse is, that I was coming in for defensive purposes virtually every night. You mentioned how many games I played. So I might come in for defense like Charlie did last night, and I would get one at bat. And if you go 0 for 1, it's not a big deal. But if you've got a string of 0 for 1s mounting up, it makes it very hard to have good numbers. And if you're not playing on a consistent basis to get 4 or 5 a night, that makes it awfully hard. So having said that, to see what Charlie's able to do to come off the bench, he could come off the bench cold after not playing for a week and hang out a line drive somewhere. He's very special. He's a very valuable part of the ball club. He's one of those great assets that you don't look at as one of the stars of the team. But to most of us who've been around the game a long time, Charlie is a star, and he just continues to plug right along with those great at-bats off the bench.
Now, among the six positions you played that year, one of them was pitching. Do you want to talk about your scoreless, your pitching performance?
I tease Don Sutton because I tell him my ERA is better than his. I don't mention the sample size.
Right, of course not. Of course not.
Yeah, that was fun. And it kind of goes to the fact that I wasn't playing much there at the end of the year, and they asked me if I would mind pitching, and I said, of course not. Hiller got me on the field. I was happy to go out. And then, lo and behold, I pitched one game, and then 5 days later, they come to me and said, can you go again? and I said, well, if I'd known I was in the rotation, I'd have done some running. So it was fun, and I had a good time with it.
That's awesome stuff. Can you believe that you have now been doing this since 1992 with the same organization day in, day out, and living what a lot of people I knew and grew up with is really a dream job?
Well, it was to me, too, in this respect, that when I got through playing, I didn't really have the desire to coach or to manage. And this was the next best thing to playing for me because you're involved in every pitch and every play, almost like you're playing. So that aspect of it filled in a need I had to be close to the ball game and close to the players. So, yeah, it's hard to believe that that much time has passed since my family and I came to Atlanta, and I'd done 5 years in Seattle before that. So it's been a good run. I've enjoyed it. I'm doing more radio this year, as you said, and I'm really enjoying that a lot because I've been away from radio for quite a while. So it's a good mix, and I'm loving it.
Now, I was at the Mary Taylor Journal before I came to the newspaper in Chattanooga. I covered Gabe playing left field for Mickey at Lassiter High School. Does watching Nick Markakis in the twilight of his career make you feel old, since I know that you watched he and Gabe play for the East Cobb All-Stars?
Yeah, about that. it does in this regard, too. I see some players like Dexter Fowler,
right,
who played at Milton High School, and he's 33 years old, soon to be 34, and he's younger than my son. So it's kind of odd to think about how long Dexter's been playing and what a good career he's had, and I know what kind of great high school player he was at Milton. So, yeah, there are a lot of other things that make me feel old, like going to the chiropractor today, but, yeah, those other things, too.
You're listening to Joe Simpson. Does a great job with Atlanta Braves television and radio network. You're listening to Joe here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Joe, you have such the perspective from 30,000 feet. What if I asked you about your playing days and now, what do you like more about the game today, and what do you like less about the game today?
I'm going to have to be very guarded about that. But what I like more are how much the facilities have improved, how much is available to the players from a conditioning standpoint, the diet and food that's available to them before and after the game, you know, instead of just going in and having a hot dog after the game or cold cuts and a candy bar. I mean, guys are really taking care of themselves for the most part. They're eating well, they're training right. And those great facilities that were not available to us exist at just about every ballpark. So I'm really jealous that we didn't have that kind of facility, those kind of facilities when I played. Things I don't like, I don't know. I don't know that it's anything I don't like about the game. It's just as much as life is changing, you know. The millennials, you know, the guys who grew up playing, they're probably played in leagues where everybody got a trophy. Everybody was patted on the back no matter how good or bad they played. Those kinds of guys that make it to the big leagues and still have that attitude, sometimes I'd like to see them appreciate where they are a little more and be a little more, I guess, responsible for their own actions.
And, Joe, we live in such a world where, like, people want commentators to speak their mind, and same with the athletes, and speak their mind. And then all of a sudden when somebody does speak their mind, everybody just goes nuts and starts criticizing. You had a couple of episodes last year where you spoke your mind. What did you kind of take from those situations?
Well, you should know that I don't do social media. I don't do Twitter. And a lot of the influence wielded these days, not just in sports, but politics or general life, you know, it's coming from these cockroaches that come out of the light only to write something, and nobody knows who they are. They have no face, they have no name, and they wield a lot of influence. People listen to them or think that they know what they're talking about. So I learned a lot about that. I learned certainly that people who don't know me and don't have any clue about what my intentions were with respect to what I said, you know, it's too bad that they have such influence. Now, did I learn something? Yeah, I guess I did. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Times are changing, but that's not going to change who I am, and it's not going to change the way I do the game. I just maybe have to be a little more calculated in how I say it.
Joe, listen, you've been great, and when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. You ready to play?
Oh, God, I hope my brain works.
Yeah. All right, who is the team right now that you most enjoy when the Braves beat?
Oh, Phillies.
You hit nine.
It was the Nationals.
Okay.
It was the Nationals. Now it's the Phillies.
You hit nine major league home runs. Who was the best pitcher you took deep?
Jack Morris.
Ooh, that is a good one. Nice job. In all your years, have you had a favorite Braves player that you've talked to, that you built a relationship and interviewed all the time and just loved it?
Not just one. I had several. The big three pitchers were outstanding, always engaged in great conversation. Chipper was great that way. Freddie's great now. So it'd be hard for me to single out one guy, but there's just too many to list.
If I had to put you on the spot and said and told you 25 years from now there's only one player on the Braves roster who's going to Cooperstown, who's it going to be?
Oh, boy. Right now, I'd say Freddie Freeman.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of obvious. Maybe that's too easy, but Freddie's compiling great numbers. And you know what? Don't count out Brian McCann.
Okay.
For a catcher who hit 20 or more homers 8 straight years, holy smokes, is that some great consistency in a guy who went to the post every day? Outstanding work.
Do you ever snack on during broadcasts? And if so, what's your snack of choice?
That's a lot too. Cookies, chocolate chip cookies.
All right.
Big chunk chocolate.
Hey, Joe, you need to quit adding adjectives into that puppy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
All right. As a baseball fan growing up in the 70s and a baseball card collector, I remember vividly the Pedro Guerrero, Rudy Law, Joe Simpson, 1979 Topps Future Dodger Star collectible card. If I had to say one was the best hitter, one was the fastest player, and one was the best announcer. I think I've got three pegged, don't I?
You're pretty good. Yeah, you're pretty good. I would say that I'm not sure who those other two guys are. But Pete was a great hitter. Rudy was blazing fast, and I was the best outfielder of the bunch. How's that?
There you go.
Joe, listen, fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. Loved having you up here in Chattanooga, and we appreciate all that you have done for the last quarter century plus in bringing us the Braves via TV and radio. Thank you again for joining us here on Press Row.
You're welcome, guys. Anytime. It's been a thrill for me, and it's a good run, and hopefully the Braves will put up another poster up there on the light tower this year for another division title.
That sounds great. Joe, thank you so much. Joe Simpson with the Braves Television and Radio Network. 648-1051 is your number. Back with more here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.